hyvää huomenta. Hyvää huomenta. And welcome to the presentation on language and communication courses at the University of Jyväskylä. My name is Juhani Moisio. I work as an expert. That's my new title. Hey, oh, no, I'm an expert nowadays. And I'll be talking to you guys shortly about the Finnish course and all the other stuff. But first off, I'll hand off to my colleague, Virgil.
Thank you, Juhani. I am not an expert.
Oh.
I'm just a teacher, so hello. So we're the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication. The name just rolls right off the tongue. But our job in the university is basically to provide language and communication courses, training, things like that for all of the students, including yourselves, and even the staff of the university as well. So we have maybe about like 15 different languages that we do. Everything from English, Finnish, Spanish, Italian, Japanese, sign language, Finnish sign language, I should say. And then a lot of communication courses as well. We don't just focus on like things like grammar and all that sort of stuff. We also focus on things like very practical study skills, so language and communication skills that you need in order to be able to study whatever it is that you study. All of the things on our slides are links, so hopefully you'll be able to get these at some point and you can like follow the links to the different relevant pieces of information. But this is pretty much a list of the types of things that we do in Movi. In a couple of minutes, we'll probably talk a little bit in more detail about the English courses and about Finnish courses. But other things that we provide that I could mention now would be we even have like therapy dogs,
Campus dog.
campus dogs, I'm told they're called. But so all of those things are available to you as exchange students as well. A couple of things that I could say before I crack into kind of what kind of courses we have and things like that is our courses tend to be quite popular. And the sooner you sign up for these things, the better. I'm told that the next person who will come and follow us after this will tell you about how to sign up for courses. So listen closely to that one. It might be a little bit important. But basically, when you get access to the kind of registration system, you'll be able to find these courses if you search for them or find the course code and put the course code into the registration website, and then you'll be able to find them. But basically, the sooner you sign up, the better. If you're not sure whether you can sign up for a course or not, don't be afraid to email the teachers. They're very nice people, I can assure you. except for me, I'm horrible. So don't be afraid to reach out to them if you need to. Bear in mind that some of our courses are graded like by numbers, and then others can be pass fail. I know that for some of you that can be difficult. And if you're wondering if you can change a pass fail course to a kind of grade, like you can get a grade in a pass fail course, the answer, generally speaking, is no. So just bear that in mind when you're signing up for the courses. Have a look on the page that describes the course and maybe actually read it, because I was an exchange student once and I didn't read any of that stuff and I suffered greatly. Have a read of it and it'll say whether it's graded or a pass fail, and then you can make a better choice when you're deciding what courses to do. Okay, so I'll start by talking a little bit about the English course as I am an English teacher. So we have courses that are specifically actually tailor-made for exchange students, and those are these two courses here, Academic English Communication 1 and Academic English Communication 2. The difference between these two courses is basically level, so it's not generally advised to take both. The idea is that you have a look and see what your language level is now, and then decide which one suits you based off that. So, in this spring, the first one there, the English Communication 1, there will be two groups of those, and they will be starting in the next few weeks. So, they start on, let me check my really important notes. The 24th and the 27th of January. So it would be important if you want to take that course to sign up for it in the next couple of weeks. Then the Academic English Communication 2 is a little bit more advanced, and it will begin in I think the 17th of March. I remember that because it's St. Patrick's Day. So these courses cover kind of a lot of the basics of English communication, things like speaking skills, a little bit of writing skills. They are graded from 0 to 5, and each of them are 3 credits each. So we recommend these for exchange students, and they are available to you. Then other delightful English courses we have to offer you this year would be things like, I don't want to go through all of these, but just to give you an example, we have courses. If you feel like either very nervous speaking English in front of other people, or you feel like you need a little bit of extra help with your English before you go into your other studies, you can do things like this Speak Up course, which is pretty light on your timetable, so it's easy to fit into your week, but will give you a lot of help, kind of with your spoken skills in kind of small group situations. And you'll also get to meet Finnish students in that course too. Things like gaining confidence in English are meant for people who maybe have kind of anxiety speaking in front of other people, so they get very nervous and find it hard to speak in front of other people in English. So all of those kinds of courses are there for you. Then we have some e-learning modules, so courses that can be taken completely online independently. There are no classes for these courses. You can take them whenever you want. That's these ones here. So presenting skills, pronunciation, grammar for writing, academic vocabulary, and academic reading as well. So all of those are e-learning modules. And finally, we have some slightly more advanced courses, and to be totally honest, these are probably going to be full up in the next semester, so it's unlikely that you'll be able to get into them ahead of the domestic students here. These are master's level courses, so even for any of you that want to take these kinds of courses, we would expect that your skills are quite advanced before you come into them. So this communication in a multilingual, multicultural project work course, and then transferring skills from academia to working life. They are available for you as elective courses, but like I said, we'd expect your skills to be quite advanced, and they probably will be very full this year too. Okay, yep. I'm aware that we're on a clock here, so basically, if anybody has any questions about the English courses or that, you can contact my colleagues, and they'll be happy to guide you with your specific needs if needs be. Also, if you like spot me in a corridor or something, feel free to walk up and harass me. I really love that. So, yeah, if you see me around or if you want to get my email, you can get that too. Juhani, back to you.
That's about it. And we'll have a little bit of time after our presentation for some questions. So Virgo won't be going anywhere. I won't be going anywhere. So no, yeah, no, you're stuck here. So any questions we can take after our slides. But like I said, the next thing is I'm not a Finnish teacher. I'm replacing one of our Finnish teachers at this presentation, but I'll be talking about the Finnish courses and some of the other things Virgo was already talking about. But one thing for you to think about is, should I learn Finnish, eh?
Probably.
Probably. Trust me. It's not easy, is it? Finnish grocery stores. Yeah. And Finnish does open up doors to communicating with us Finns. We're a bit of a funny nation, us Finns. Yeah, because nobody will. Where you'll end up, what will happen during your exchange? The world is a funny, funny place, and you might end up in Jyväskylä. And yeah, you'll hear many words about snow during this whole spring semester, but there's not a word for please in Finnish. So excuse our rudeness, it's just our direct communication. But yeah, if you're interested in studying Finnish as a second language, For beginners now, for exchange students, you should choose Survival Finnish. That is the one that is recommended for you guys. It's too easy TS and it does give you the distinction between milk and sour milk, which is, which is useful. But if you're more interested, you can apply. You can also do My Finnish. But once again, the international degree students are the priority for that course. So exchange students are accepted as an exception. So exchange students should do Survival Finnish. Ja jos täällä on jotain, jotka puhuvat, osaavat jo suomea, voi tutustua kurssitarjontaan edistyneistä Suomen kursseista, lukea kurssikuvaukset, tai meillä on infosessio edistyneistä suomen kielen kursseista. Tiistaina 14.1. Ruusupuistossa, mikä on tuossa alhaalla, niin siellä voi tulla kysymään, jos osaat jo suomea. Mikä edistyneempi kurssi kannattaa ottaa. So if you got that, you got that. If you didn't, you don't need to get. Just if you already know some Finnish, there's no idea for you to take the introductory courses. Come and talk to the Finnish teachers about the more advanced Finnish courses. So we'll find a more advanced Finnish course for you guys. Because I know some of you already might be studying Finnish or know Finnish. So you guys go to the info session on the 14th of January in Ruusupuisto. Or just look at the Finnish courses online and write to the email address about the Finnish courses. So like I said, all the course descriptions, timetable, registration, the grading scale, which Fergal talked about, is it a numeric grade or pass and or fail, will be found in Sisu and also might be more information is found on our website. But that was about the Finnish as a second language courses. Another option that our Finnish teachers are running is the Each One Teach One program, which is basically a language buddy tandem activity where you learn the languages of your partner or a fellow student. And that is a three ECTS course that is managed by our Finnish teachers. And you are learning your each other's mother tongues and cultural aspects. But there is a study plan. You need to write a report. You need to be doing activities. And because of that, you will get 2 to 3 ECTS. But you need to find a partner first. That's the tough bit. But that's why we have this website where you can have an announcement or you can scout around and find a Finn or find a fellow exchange student that you want to practice and learn languages about. But some important things about it. So, study plan submission must be done by March 10th. So, you have until the beginning of March to find a partner and start learning each other languages. You can only do one each one, teach one at a time. More information is found on the website here. And there's also an information session about that on Monday, January 13th, in the university library. So please attend that one if you want to know more about it and read the website. So it's just basically finding somebody to learn and talk languages about and do a study plan and do activities and report to the teacher and meet with the teacher about those things that you did. So these are our possibilities regarding kind of like the English courses that Fergal was talking about and kind of like Finnish courses. Well, yeah. Here, more questions about then the Each One Teach One is the website and the teacher's contact information as well. But like Virgo was saying, we have a lot of offer on several languages and not just about languages, but also communication, intercultural communication, working life communication, AI communication, AI literacies, everything to do with basically language and communication that are crucial whether you're studying physics or psychology, you do still need language and communication skills in those. So, in many languages, some beginner courses are taught in English, but only some, majority of them start in Finnish because they're aimed at our Finnish students. But now, some advanced courses in a particular language might be taught in that particular language. So, advanced French courses will be offered in French. So if you have French skills, you can attend the advanced courses because they will be taught in French. And the same applies to German, Spanish, and so on. So if you're interested in those particular languages, contact the teacher Tell them about your background information and the course that you would like to attend so they can see that, okay, you are on the skill level that you can attend this course, which is taught in that particular language. And like Fergal, all the teachers are nice. They might be a bit occupied now at the start of the semester, but they will get back to you. So you can contact them. And read the course descriptions, of course. But like I said, beginner courses are usually taught in Finnish, the advanced courses in that particular language. So you can attend if you have skills in that particular language. But also courses on intercultural communication, multilingualism, culture, AI literacies, working life skills, you name it, we've pretty much got it. And then we have courses supporting your language and communication courses as well. So kind of like the introductory courses. Visit the website. And Sisu, contact the teacher. And there is a next website for in English on our courses. Now it's missing Russian and Japanese because they are taught in Russian and in Japanese or in Finnish. But if you have advanced Russian skills, if you have advanced Japanese skills, you can attend those courses by contacting the teacher and telling about your background. And then the teacher will say, yes, you can attend those courses. So there's a lot of opportunities and offer for you guys there. I'll skip those because there are no degree students, but we have recommended Movi courses for you exchange students, and they are already found in Sisu in your study plan. So when you go to your study plan, it first lists the courses of your faculty, of your program, of your department. Those are the priority courses. But if you scroll down, you will have this kind of like this section is called Studies Open for All Exchange Students of JYU. And there you have Movi language and communication courses for all exchange students. So the recommended courses are already found in your Sisu, which helps you kind of like to enroll for those courses. But still have a look at the course description, contact possibly the teacher before enrolling. And besides that, all the information is found. These course descriptions are found on the website and then in the study guide. And you can also use the QR code to find them. So they're already listed, but for more information, visit the website, look at the course description, and possibly even contact the teacher. So that's how you'll get more out of those courses. Well, you already mentioned about the academic study skills because studying at Movi and studying at JYU might be a bit different than what you are used to. Each university has their own academic study cultures and academic study professions, and the way that we hope that you progress in your studies and do assignments and what is expected during the classes and what's happening and what's not happening. So please, before that, have a look at the Academic Study Skills website that we at Movi have built for you, because it helps you in understanding and developing the study skills that you need at JYU and possibly even in your further life and working life and stuff. About teamwork, about giving feedback, about how to use AI. That's an important aspect. We allow the use of AI, but you need to cite it and only to kind of like elaborate on your own idea. So that's something that it's extremely important for you guys. If you just do a ChatGPT assignment, it'll be a fail. But you can use AI. But these websites tell you how to use it and all these stuff that you might be using in your studies. So have a look at that one, Academic Study Skills at JYU, not just for Movi courses, but also for the other courses you'll be doing as well. And Fergal already talked about the care and reading dogs, the campus dogs here on campus. That's something that is important and a popular activity for student well-being. I mean, you guys are now away from home. And of course, the first few weeks is the honeymoon. You'll be excited about Finland is the coolest place you've ever been. And trust me, I hope so. But probably at some point you'll feel a bit homesick. So that's a great way then to come and meet the campus dogs. So it's about relieving study stress, about homesickness, about meeting other students, and of course, meeting the dogs if you're a dog person. So you can twice every month or once in Movi's Oppio building, we have the campus dogs. They are trained dogs and,
Us, the handlers are trained as well, so it's just, just to come and meet the dogs and scratch and, get a little bit of good feeling and wellness during your studies. Sign up in advance for these as well. They are really popular, so they do sign up pretty fast. And lastly, but not leastly, then the important information. So you can find the exact timetables of the courses from a slip, from a note, or then already in Sisu. And you'll be hearing more about Sisu in the next information session. Register for all the courses in Sisu. If you don't register, if you don't enroll, you're not attending the course. That is crucial. And then, of course, first meeting is important to confirm your participation. If you confirm, if you register, but you don't show up for the first meeting, well, then we kind of like, you're not into it and you're out. So you need to be present in the first meeting. And even now, if the course seems to be full, it's quite, yeah, well, depending on how full it is. If it's like 20 seats and 200 students signed up, pretty much, somebody will. But if it's so and so, you can always register in Sisu and be present in the first meeting, because it might be that somebody doesn't show up for the first meeting. So then the teacher might ask, well, if there's anybody here who registered but wasn't not accepted, and then you might get in because this one person didn't show up. So there is a little bit of possibility that you might, be able to attend a course even though you signed up. And it first said, preliminary said that the course is full, but you might have a chance of attending it still. It does happen, but not automatically. And at Movi courses, it's about language and communication. So active attendance is required on Movi courses. We're talking about communication. So, be active and at the same time, enjoy your studies at Movi as well. Go right ahead.
I just remembered one other thing. So on that Sisu thing is what they're going to talk about to you in the next talk, and it's where you register for all the courses. And you might come across some courses there that don't have like a start and end date, and they don't have a timetable. And if you find a course like that on Sisu, it doesn't exist. Basically,
True.
okay. Like there are old courses on that website that stay in the system as long for years because it's part of the curriculum for 4 years, but maybe they've run already in autumn. And so if there's no start and end date and there's no timetable for it, then it probably isn't running this spring.
Perfect. Good, good. Just stay there.
See, the tutors are here now. It's
Yes.
we all need to be on our best behavior. I married my tutor, so be careful.
Well, pretty much. We have
Yeah.
5 minutes.
So, big welcome to everybody. Hope you really enjoy your exchange. Not too much, but yeah, like I think I was an exchange student here. It's a great place to be an exchange student, but yeah, looking forward to meeting you all in the courses over the next few years. If anybody has any questions or anything, feel free to ask away. You, honey?
You go ahead, throw it. I don't want to
I
hit
don't want to
anybody.
embarrass myself,
Yeah,
frankly.
exactly.
We'll throw you the dice.
Now, see?
This is very exciting for the people on Zoom.
Good job.
Close enough.
Is it on? Okay. You said the last thing you just said. So, what about the Chinese courses? Because it says on the website there are Chinese language courses, but there's not a date for that.
Yep. The Chinese courses were already organized during the autumn semester and then during the last academic year. Our Chinese teacher is currently on a study leave, so she's doing. There is an HSK preparatory course in the spring term, which is for this national Chinese exam. But in order to take that, you already need to be on advanced level. So, yeah, no Chinese courses during the spring semester besides the more advanced preparatory course for the National Chinese Language Examination, unfortunately.
Okay. What advanced you say, like level 2, 3, because
I really don't know. It's the National HSK Language, Chinese Language Association.
Okay.
tests. So if you're into Chinese, then you know it's pretty advanced because it gives you a certificate, a national Chinese certificate
Yeah.
of the, you know, of the People's Republic of China. So it's pretty advanced.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions? Lift your hand now. So, yep. Ooh.
I don't know if this is too specific, but about the Swedish for international students course, is this the exact the same thing which is happening? So it's not starting this semester? Because on Sisu,
Possibly, yeah.
it says that there's nothing going on.
Yeah, then the Swedish for international students will not be organized. It was organized during probably during the autumn semester, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
But yeah, each one teach one. If you already have Swedish, well, yeah, each one teach one.
Yeah, I have
All every
Norwegian
Finn should
skills,
know a
but
little bit of Swedish.
no Swedish yet.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
If the registration period for a course has ended, is it possible to still as a teacher to like attend?
It is. Then just attend the course and say that the registration, or write to the teacher, email the teacher and say the registration was already you know, had ended, and then we'll do our Sisu magic and we'll have you have you on the course, and depending on what the teacher says.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else? Over here in the oh. Oh, nice.
Okay, so I have a question. Luckily or unfortunately, but my mother tongue is not Finnish. Yeah, obviously. But I really would love to learn French. And it's the first time when we came here, they were saying like that you offer courses for exchange students, like for foreign languages. And then I just come to CISU and I say like a lot language of learning Finnish. And I just like I won't say any curse words here. So okay, I wanted to ask the only possibility to learn French for me if I speak mostly English, then it's only like learning it with a tutor. N not with a tutor, but like with a partner. Yeah? Do I understand it right?
Yeah, it does it. It depends. Yeah, I would contact the teacher, but preferably because the like I said, it's a beginning course and it's probably aimed at the Finnish speakers. So for them then to be attending French at the same time, which is taught in English, can be a quite demanding for them. So that's why usually, I mean, the advanced courses are taught in French, which requires the skills, and the beginner courses are taught in English. But talk with the teacher, write to the teacher. The teacher, depending on the teacher, she might say, okay, yeah, I can give you private tuition in English or have the course in English, depending on what the other students say. But technically, the beginner courses are taught in Finnish because they are aimed at the Finnish speakers who might not have even English skills. They might have studied German as their first language, so that's why teaching French and Finnish is important to them. But check right with the teacher. Check who's teaching that course and check with the teacher and see what the teacher says. And then the teacher can discuss with the class and see what the class decides.
Okay, thank you. So I still need to be determined. Thank you. I wanted to say, like, I still need to be determined. Yeah, and goal-oriented. Thank you.
Okay. If anything else, we don't want to, you know, we started this show. We don't want to take up any time from the important Sisu stuff. So, any questions, you can just contact us and we'll take it from there.
Bye-bye.
See? Cool. Bye.
Mä tarvin sen selaimen sitten kanssa, niin pitää sen joo. Ja mulla on tosiaan tämä pois. Joo, mutta haluatko tänne joku sivu auki?
ihan vain joku, vaan ei kun
Vai?
mä kirjoitan sen, niin mä näytän,
Okei,
miten se pätee. Eli vaan sellainen.
toi vaan.
Ja sitten mulla on kaksi diaa, ja sitten sen jälkeen mä hyppään.
Joo,
Niin,
mä voin auttaa sitten
joo. Koska
sulla
just, että.
vaihtaa se. Joo.
Okei. Okay. Can you hear me? On. Hello. 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 Can you hear me?
Nyt.
Can you hear me now? Now. Now I can hear myself at least. Okay. Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you all in person here. My name is Iida Kultamaa. I work as the International Coordinator at Jyväskylä University School of Business and Economics. And I will be giving you the quite short presentation on how to register for courses in our study data system, SISU. And oh, actually, I'm not going to go there just yet. First, I will show you in browser step by step on how to log into SISU and how to register for your courses there. And then after the showing you the process, I will answer some frequently asked questions. And at the end, if there's still some time left, you can ask questions as well. Unfortunately, the schedule is quite tight, so I'm not able to answer your questions in the middle of the presentation. But at the end, please ask questions if there's time. And also, you can watch the recording of this presentation later, and you can also contact your own host faculty or department's international coordinator to ask course-related or registration-related questions. And also at the end of the presentation, there are some useful links for further instructions and tips. So here is in a nutshell on how to register for courses in SISU. Some of you may have already logged in to SISU before because your study right has started on the first day of January. But if you haven't, that's okay. Now you'll learn how to log in and how to register. So the basis for everything is your study plan. So first, when you log into SISU, you will need to create a study plan in the Structure of Studies tab. And then you add courses to that study plan. Next, you will need to choose completion methods for each of your courses. And then it's time to do the actual registration, which can be done in the study calendar tab or the registration tab. And then finally, when the registration period has ended, you will need to check the status of your registration. So you will need to see if your registration has been confirmed or if it has been rejected. So now, if you have your laptops with you, you can follow my lead and try to register for some or all of your courses at the same time. You can do it by using your phone as well, but unfortunately, SISU does not work very well in the mobile mode. So you can try that, but if it doesn't work well, then you can do it later and just listen. Can you still hear me if I speak from here? Okay, that's good. Okay, so the easiest way to access SISU is to just put in Google sisu.jyu.fi. And you have already, you can by the way change the language here in the upper right corner in English. And you log into SISU with your JYU username and password. And it takes you to this landing page, which for you, this page may look a little bit different because I don't have the student study right. So for me, it looks like this, but for you, it may be a little bit different. If it's your first time logging into Sisu, there may be already a pop-up window here, which asks you to do the study plan. But if this isn't your first time or there's no pop-up window, then you should go to the upper left corner here, where is the structure of studies tab, and click that. And then on the right-hand side, there is the button New Study Plan. Click that. And there's a pop-up window, Create a New Study Plan. Since you already have a specific exchange student study right, these fields may be already filled in, but if they are not, you can start by typing exchange here. And it shows all the study plan templates that we have specifically for exchange students. And I'm going to use today as an example the study plan template for the exchange students of the Faculty of Mathematics and Science. And I chose this one, and these fields are already automatically filled in. You can change the name of the study plan if you want. I'm going to keep it as it is and click Create a Plan. And here I have the empty study plan template for the exchange students of the Faculty of Mathematics and Science. This study plan template may look also different for students of different faculties, so don't worry if your study plan template doesn't look like this, if it's organized a little bit differently, because it's faculty or department specific. But you can see here that the study plan template is structured with these different headlines and subtitles, and by clicking a subtitle, you can modify what is under that subtitle. And I have a few courses to show you as examples, but for you, now is the time for you to look at your learning agreement, what courses you have chosen there, and start adding those courses to the study plan. So I have here chemistry courses, two of them. I have modern synthetic organic chemistry, which you can when you click the subtitle, you can see here all the courses that are open for exchange student under that subtitle. So here I have the modern synthetic organic chemistry. If I click this, it will activate the course and put it in my study plan. And then I have another chemistry course, which is the advanced laboratory practicals in physical chemistry. And again, the same thing. And then I have one course under the subtitle of nanoscience. So I click the subtitle of nanoscience. And again, it shows the nanoscience courses that are available for exchange students. And I have the practical course in nanoscience. And again, it appears here in the study plan. Then I'm going to show you how to add courses from different from other faculties other than your host faculty. So here is the headline: Studies open for all exchange students of JYU. So courses under this section are courses from other faculties that are open for all exchange students, so not just the exchange students of that faculty in question. And you will be able to take those courses if you have agreed on those in your learning agreement, or that at least if your home university approves it. And if they are clearly marked that they are open for all exchange students. And also if you fulfill the requirements, because even though course is open for all exchange students, it still may have some prerequirements that you need to fulfill to take that course. So I will choose one course under this subtitle. And here it actually asks that I need to first activate this like subtitle, which is I'm going to choose the Finnish as a second language. So it puts that subtitle now here. It wasn't there visible there before. And I'm going to click that one, and I'm going to choose the survival Finnish. And again, same thing, it appears here. Then I have one more course to show you, and that I will add in a free edit mode. The course is from the Business and Economics, from the School of Business and Economics. And you can see the three dots here. And by clicking that, you can access the free edit mode. And here you can search for courses with the course name or the code. Now, all the courses that you can find by accessing them from the study plan template, they are open for all open for exchange students. But if you choose courses in this free edit mode, it will all, find all the courses that we have in the university, and not all of them are open for exchange students. So I would not recommend you to use this feature just to look for nice sounding courses. But if you have previously already agreed that for a course that is not regularly open for exchange student, but you have agreed that you can take that one, then you can add it in the free edit mode. So I have here current issues in sustainability of sport. And by the way, this course is open for exchange students of sports faculty and business and economics students. So you do not need to, if you want to take this course, you do not need to add it in free edit mode, but I'm just using this as an example. So this should be already in the, if you have the correct study plan template, it should be there. Okay, so now I have added all the courses, and it's time to choose the completion methods for these. So you can already see that there is the, it says here that completion method one selected, show completion method. And in this one, it shows completion method not selected, select completion method. I noticed last week that even though it says here that completion method one selected, you still need to go to select it separately, because otherwise it will not appear in your list of courses in the registration phase. So even though here is the it looks that it's selected, you need to select it separately. You can select the completion method here by just clicking confirm. This way you do not need see a lot of information about the completion method or about the course in general. So I would, in my opinion, more useful way to choose the completion method is to click here on the course code. And it will open the course information brochure where you can find all the information about the course that is available. So content and goals, if there's any prerequisites that you need to fulfill before taking the course, study materials, and also the name of the teacher and the contact information. And here in the completion methods tab, it is possible to choose the completion method. So here it shows that there's only one method to complete the course, which is participation in teaching. This is very common that there's only one way to complete the course. So you can just select that one by clicking the select button. Here it shows when the teaching happens. You can click that one and you find more information. And also if you scroll down, there's you can click here, teaching, lectures. And it shows the language of instruction, groups and teaching times, and so on. And for courses that are available for exchange student, the language of instruction is English, but sometimes it can be English and Finnish. Sometimes if it's Finnish, it can be that when you check closer or you I can't now remember where the information is, but it may be that somewhere else in the information brochure it says that if there's even one English speaking student in the group, then the language of instruction in English in that case. So now the completion method is selected for that one, and for this one, I'm again going this way. This course has also only one completion method, but it shows that you have to choose multiple groups to between one, was it? Yeah, to a maximum of 12 credits. First, you need, sometimes some courses, you need to first click this green button here, select this completion method, and it activates this. And then you just choose whatever groups you want to choose. You can compare the timetables for those and then select them. And I will select these two just for example. By the way, Sisu prompts me to go here. Up here, it shows to go, prompts to go to the registration immediately, but I will first choose all the completion methods and then go to the registration phase. I think that all of these other ones, they were quite simple. So method one, there's only one completion method. Select that one. And then well, this one, I think there were two. Yes, there are two completion methods to choose from. But as you can see here, the method one, which is seminars and independent study, it shows that there's no upcoming teaching for this academic semester. So the only option is to choose the method two, which is independent study. And it shows here the time the course is. You can take the course. And again, I click first this green button here. Selected, and then I select this one. And by the way, these completion methods need to be selected before you can go to register. So this is a step that you cannot step ahead. So then I have the last one is the survival finish, which only has the, I can show you now the quick way. It has only teaching. So I can just confirm that one, even though now that I remember it all. Also had, you can see that there are different teaching groups which actually need to be, you have to choose which one. So I, for example, I'm going to choose the second one here. Okay, so now I have chosen all the completion methods. I hope you're still with me. And I'm going to go to the registration phase now, which happens, you can do it either in the registration tab here in the here or the study calendar tab. The registration tab, this is quite straightforward. But again, if you do the registration here, you do not see that much information. I mean, you do not see all the information that is available for the registration. For example, for this course, you click register. It shows the number of seats. Requirements and it shows the teaching groups and I could just click the confirm. I'm not going to click confirm because I do not have the student study right, so I'm just showing you. But more useful way in my opinion is to do the registration in the study calendar tab, which looks like this, where you can see your calendar, and when you register for your courses, you can see how they if there are any overlaps or it's a visual more visual this way. So here on the right, you can see the courses list of courses that we have chosen the completion methods for, and here you can filter the courses by the registration status. I can show it a little bit later again. So here you click the course. Oh, you click the arrow and it shows you. Here it shows you already how many students are placed in the group. So it's very useful. And you register by just clicking the register, and it shows the similar pop-up window than in the registration, as in the registration tab. And you can just confirm the course. And I think this is quite similar. Yes, this is very similar. You can just click the confirm, and then you are registered for the course.
Yeah, this is also very similar. I'm just going to show you the courses that have a little bit different way. Okay, so this course, for example, Modern Synthetic Organic Chemistry, this has lectures and exercises and seminars, and it shows that when I click the register, it gives instructions here, select teaching groups. And it shows here that all teaching groups are mandatory. So it means that you do not need, you can't choose just some parts of the course, but you need to register for all of them. And the registration for all of them happens at the same time. So you just confirm, click confirm, and you are registered for all of these seminars, exercises, and lectures. But then, there are also courses that have different groups that you will need to choose between. So, for example, the pract I think this, actually, I'm gonna go here. It shows a lot of information if you here. So, yes, this group, I mean, this course has different groups that are. That it shows as different blocks. So, if I remember correctly, there are four blocks that you need to choose groups. And it gives you instructions here, further instructions on how to select the groups. And in each block, you can choose one group as your first preference, like this one. Block one, you can choose that this is your first preference group. So Sisu will put you in that first in the co group that you have chosen as your first preference if there's room in that course. But if it's full, then Sisu will put you in any other group that you have also chosen. So you can choose only one group as your first preference, but then you can choose other groups also if you know that you will be able to fit any other group in your timetable as well. And if you have chosen only one group and it's full, then your registration will most likely be rejected. So it's good to have several options so that Sisu will know that you can fit some other group as well. So I could just choose from all these blocks. Block two, I could have, for example, I could choose the group two as my first preference, but then I could also choose group one, but do not put it as your first, as the first preference, and so on. And I think that the other courses here were quite straightforward. By the way, when you are trying to decide what groups could work best for you, you can click it by clicking here. It activates the times and they appear in your calendar. And you can, for example, there is the nano course. I can check which groups would work for me the best. And they are actually at the same time, all of these, but then yeah, you could check which works best for you. And survival finish, I think it was just, yeah, it had only one group that you need to register for. Okay. And after the registration period has ended, you need to check if your what is your status of your registration. For some courses, you get immediate access. Usually those courses are courses that have maybe 100 seats or even more, like 300 seats if it's a online course or something. But very often you will learn after the registration period has ended if you have been accepted or rejected for the course. And Sisu does not work in a first come, first serve basis. But when the registration period ends, it will randomly, if there are more registrants than there are seats on the course, then Sisu will randomly choose the participants for the course based on the selection criteria. So some courses may have selection criteria, for example, that only the degree students have the they have the they will be chosen first, and then maybe exchange students
are the second priority group. So there may be some groups that have priority for the course. And here, as I mentioned before, you can filter the registered courses by the status to see which one you've been registered, which are waiting for registration, which for the registration has not started, or which are confirmed and which are rejected. And if you want to cancel the registration, so you want to remove a course, when you click the course, then and there is the register button, this button will change into cancel registration button. But if the registration period has ended, you cannot cancel the registration. After that, you can discontinue the course. And if you Well, they're actually, for some courses, there may be also like a cancellation period after the registration period has ended. So then, if the cancellation period is on, then you can cancel the registration. But otherwise, it will be only possible to discontinue the course. And after that, you cannot register. If you would like to again register for the course, then you can't do it yourself. You will need to ask the teacher separately. And I think I'm now going to go to the frequently asked questions. I will need to go through this quite quickly because we do not have a lot of time. Okay, so if you cannot find a certain course in Sisu, first you should check if it's on the exchange students courses website, because on the website all the courses that are available for exchange students they should be there. If not, the course may not be available for exchange students, or it may be that the course details have not been confirmed and the course becomes available a little bit later in the spring semester, or the teacher just hasn't yet confirmed all the details about it. You can contact your own host faculties or department's international coordinator and ask if you're unsure. Sisut might not let you enroll for some courses if you do not have the correct study right for the course, or if the registration period has not yet started or it has already ended. So you should always check when the registration period is, because it may have not started yet. Sometimes the courses are, or I would say quite often, they have a limited number of seats, so that may be also the reason why you cannot enroll if the course is already full. And for some courses, mainly they are independent courses that you can that has no lectures or seminars or contact teaching. Those may be available for until the end of the academic year. And because your exchange student study right ends at the end of May, you may not be able to register for those courses. And then if you want to take that kind of course, then you should contact your international coordinator and they can manually add you to the course. As I mentioned, some courses have a selection criteria. You may need to have some completed some type of some basic course, or you need to have a, if it's a master's course, you need to have a bachelor's degree in that subject. If you know that the course should be open for exchange students and you fulfill the requirements, and it still does not let you enroll, there may be some Sisu technical thing that it doesn't know that you do fulfill the requirements, and then in that case also you should contact your home faculty's international coordinator. If you have overlapping courses, then if it's only like one or two overlaps or lectures that are overlapping, you should check the attendance policy from the teacher, and they can tell you if it's okay or not. But if the overlap is more than 2 times, or if the course has only, let's say, 5 lectures, and you know that you cannot attend for 2 of them, and the attendance policy is very strict, then you may not be able to take the course if it's required to attend all the lectures to complete the course. Some courses may have lecture recordings, so in that case, it may not be a problem. But it's always good to ask the teacher directly if the overlap is a problem. And here, I'm not going to go this too in too much detail because I already showed you where the cancel registration button is. You can cancel the registration in the same place where you register for your courses. So here is all. It's also written here. You can revisit this later. And here are some useful links. There are written instructions on how to register for courses, quick guide. There's also video instructions, although the video instructions are from the, I think it was from 2021. So it may be a little bit, some features may have changed a bit, but so mostly it should still be relevant. And then there's instructions on how to register for exams. And some other Sisu instructions. If you have any technical issues with Sisu, you can contact our Sisu team via Help JYU portal. And then the last link, it takes you to the website where there are contact information for all the faculty level international coordinators. So if you are interested in, for example, a course from another faculty, then you can ask that international coordinator from that faculty directly if it's okay for you to take that course. Okay. Is there time for questions? Not really. Yeah. Unfortunately, we do not have time to take questions here, but you will have the faculty information sessions in the afternoon where you can ask your own host faculties or department's international coordinator more specific questions about the course registration. Okay, thank you.
Miten sulle noi? Ja tuohon esille, niin pääset aloittaa suoraan.
No niin.
Joo. Voit käyttää tätä mikkiä tai sitten käsimikkiä, ihan
Joo,
kumpi.
mä käytän
Joo.
tätä.
Ja ihan vaan nuolella. Saan sitten slaideja vaihdettua.
No niin, joo, ja voin
Joo, voit
heti
aloittaa.
aloittaa.
Vähän joutuu ehkä korottamaan. Se ei näy.
Okay, yes, kiitos. Hello, everyone. My name is Anniina, and I work as a nurse in one of the health centers in Jyväskylä, and I will give you now little info about primary healthcare services in Jyväskylä and where you can go and where you need to call if something happens and you need medical care.
Niin, joo.
Okay, so in Jyväskylä we have 8 different health centers. They all provide urgent and non-urgent care, and they are open from Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it depends from the area where you live that which health center you need to go to. So it's based on your home address. And then we have one hospital called Nova, and they have emergency healthcare 24/7 and then specialized healthcare. And the hospital is maybe a few kilometers away from here. And you can find your own health center from this internet page. So there's a direct link to it. So you write down your home address, the street name, and the number, and then it will show you the right health center in Finnish. So, for example, there is Taitoniekantie 10, and for that address, the right health center is Kyllä Health Center. But most of the student apartments are located in the areas of Kyllä and Nova health centers, and there are the addresses for them and the phone number where you can call if you need to book an appointment or ask for help. They are both few kilometers away from the centrum, and if you're not sure which health center you need to go to, just go anywhere and they will like help you forward to the right place. Well, here are the opening hours of the health centers. So, like I said before, they are open from Monday to Thursday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and then on Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And like I said, they have urgent and non-urgent care, but then outside of these opening hours, so in the evening and at night and in the weekends, if you might need emergency care, then you can go to Nova Hospital. And we have this medical helpline phone number 116 117, and it's open 24/7, so you can always call there and ask that should you maybe go to emergency care or what should you do? And then, of course, in case of emergency, you call the emergency number, which is 112. Well, then, how you can book an appointment to a doctor, for example, you can call to your own health center. When you call there, there's like a automatic message spoken, and then you can leave a callback message. But the callback service works only for Finnish phone operators' numbers. So if you don't have a Finnish phone number, then you're not able to leave the callback message. So then you can just like hold on and wait on the line for somebody to answer. Then all of the health centers have service desks and this kind of first aid desk, and they're usually located in the main lobbies of the health centers. So you can just go there and take a service number and then wait for your turn. And in the service desk, we have possibility for translating services in many languages. Then we also have chat where you can talk with the nurse and book an appointment as well, and there's a link to chat. And then if you have booked an appointment but you can't make it, then you should cancel the appointment by calling to the phone number, because otherwise you will get you have to pay €56 for not canceling the appointment. So when you contact health center, there's always a registered nurse who will assess your treatment needs based on your symptoms and your situation. And then according to your symptoms, they might give you directions how to take care of your symptoms at home, or then they can give you an appointment to a doctor, for example, but also to a nurse or physiotherapy or something like that. Okay, then what do you need to bring with you when you visit healthcare for the first time? So at the first time, it would be best if you come to the service desk because we need to add you to the like healthcare system on computer and get all your information. So when you visit like any healthcare, come to the service desk first and we need your ID. We need to take copies from that. And then if you have the European Union's health insurance card or some other private health insurance, take that with you as well. Then we need to get all your contact details in Finland, so your phone number, email address, home address here in Jyväskylä, and also in your home country. Then it would be good if you have information from your like former diagnoses and medications that you might be using. So if you have any documents about them, take them with you as well. Then we have dental care. So we have many dental clinics in Jyväskylä, and they have service desk, which is located in Kyllö Health Center. And there's also phone number where you can call if you want to book an appointment to dentist. And it's open from Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And they provide also urgent and non-urgent care. But then in the weekends and in the evenings, if something urgent happens, like you have really bad toothache or something, you can call the medical helpline phone number 116 117. Then we have family planning clinics, which provide services related to sexual health issues. For example, contraceptive advice, pregnancy planning, and infertility treatments. They don't have service desk, but they have a phone number where you can call. Then medications and medical prescriptions. So in Finland, all prescriptions are electronic and they're written by a doctor, or sometimes a nurse can also make a prescription. And even though the prescriptions are electronic, if you get one, try to remember to ask a printed paper version from that because you don't have Finnish ID card. So when you go to pharmacy to get the medication, you need to have a paper version from that. And in Finland, all the medications can be only bought from pharmacies. So you can get medications with prescription from there, and then there are also medications available without prescription as well. So for example, painkillers and antihistamine. So you can also go to pharmacy and ask for help there as well. Then here are customer fees. So for students who come from European Union countries or ETA countries, Switzerland, Quebec, Canada, or Great Britain, the prices are same as for Finnish citizens. And actually, these prices are from last year, and they unfortunately have gone up now when this year started, so like a week ago. So a doctor's appointment in health center is around 28 euros. Nurses' appointments are still free. Then physiotherapy is 12 euros. Then if you need to call an ambulance, that's 25 euros. Then if you go to Nova Hospital to emergency care, that was something like 66 euros. And if you have an appointment and they take, for example, blood test or X-ray or ultrasound or something like that, you don't have to pay any extra from those, so they're included in these prices. And you don't have to have cash or paid while you're like at the appointment. So you will always get an invoice mailed to your home address after a few weeks from the appointment. But then if you are coming from another country, like outside of Europe or those other countries that I said before, then these prices are higher for you than for Finnish citizens. And then in some cases, it might be cheaper to go to a like private healthcare, private doctor. But your residence permit for studies requires you to have a private insurance that covers like all the medical and drug expenses. So even though the prices are higher, your insurance should cover all of them. Okay, that was all. Do you have any questions? Okay, if you don't have any questions, then thank you and enjoy your time in Finland. Yes.
Vielä silleen päivitetyn version, jos
Joo.
Vanhoja
Joo.
hintoja,
Joo.
niin jos
Joo, se on
jakaa
hyvä. Joo.
loppuskoneet. Joo.
All right. Next, we will have a 15-minute break, so you can stand up a little bit, go to the bathroom, and we will continue in 15 minutes. So, yeah.
I'm safety and security at the University of Jyväskylä, and I'm a security specialist, Mikko Malm, and I'm warmly welcome you, everybody, here to Jyväskylä. How many of you are first time now experience real winter? I mean that, okay, yeah. So for you, this is also experience, not as just a student, but as for your life, that's very good. Finland is one of the safest countries in the world, and Jyväskylä University is a safe place to study, work, or visit. That's the way we say it. But still, be cautious and use common sense. It means that take care of yourself and each other and be safety. This is the point what I just underline all the time, that you have to be active if you want to live and be safe. Safety awareness is an important part of professionalism, and that's good to know because here in university you're studying in your own professional field, but also in same time learn to be safety professionals in your field too. I myself have graduated here from Jyväskylä University 25 years ago as a Master of Communication and Journalism, so I know this is a good place to study. Jyväskylä is a good place to live and be. But this is, it's all matters how yourself, what is your attitude, what you do, how you sense, how you see, how you react. That's the way it goes. So we all are adult people. We are response of ourselves and also each other. So attitude saves lives and creates safety. And this is phrase, this is slogan, but this also is nothing true and nothing but the truth. How many of you have some experiences from army or military? Or have somebody some police background or being some sort of special forces or emergency or something like that? Okay. So this is the fundamental way how they think when they are doing their job. That it's attitude. It's over 80% of your safety is your own attitude. And I also have police and military background. I have been 5 years all around the world in special forces and also 12 years in Finnish police service in anti-terrorist group. So that's my point of view, why I underline all the time this, that it's your own. You are in response of your own safety and how you react and what you can do and be safe and also take care of others. So remember that all the time. Okay, there we have it, Jyväskylä. And as you can see, a safe study and work environment abroad is also right of every member. So you are right to be in safe. And as a student, you have an important own role to play in ensuring safety. So, like I say, take care of yourself, each other, and the attitude is the main point. Each of us members of the university and in our community has an important role of making safety and security. And to manage to implement safety and security at the universe, we security units, it's me and two other guys, we need information. So if you observe it and notice something, just give us that information that we can do something for that. And we hope that you will report about possible dangerous situations, close-up situations, crimes, and other safety and security-related deviations. Welcome, 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 welcome. And also, if you note acute danger, so it's your response to prevent damages and get yourself and others safe. So, very simple in everyday life, but once again, it's your attitude, that your common sense, that you realize that something is not right, and you act to do something. It means that take care of yourself and each other and be safe. This is all you had to remember after this lecture. Nothing else, it's not so important, but this is the main point, the core of this story. Okay. In urgent emergency situations, call the authorities first and tell what, where is happening, and listen instructions. And then help and inform others to prevent damages and more escalations. And remember, it's better be a living hero than dead hero. So use your common sense, take care first of yourself, your own safety, and then you try to help other. And that's the way it goes. Follow the instructions and ask if you are not sure, and be prepared for unusual situations such as possible accidents, fire alarms, and power outages. So it might happen also here in your own home, in city, here in university. So never know what happens. And what I recommend that you all have, 112 is our emergency number. Just get this 112 application, because this is excellent. When you use that, it automatically turn on to GPS and tell also the emergency center where you are calling. And it's very important for you, because during next weeks, Jyväskylä is you exactly don't know where, in which part of Jyväskylä, where you are. So it's much more easier that when you call 112 and use this application, it will show that, okay, you are here in like Vaasankatu or in Minnakant streets or places like that. So that's very, very handy. And also it gives you much more information about nearest defibrillators, poison information center, other contact numbers, and how to do in emergency situations. So this is good application, and you can find it from it depends to have iPhone or Android, but the shops, it can be found there, 112 application. Fire safety, and when alarm will go on, so follow these exit signs. And we also have this toimintaohjeet vaaratilanteessa, instructions for our emergency response guide. And also we have this emergency response guide. We have in every location, we have maps by places like here. And we are here in big hall. So here we can see, okay, those green arrows shows where are the exit routes. And outside here is the meeting place. So these are good to know, every places where you go, and just check out where are the nearest exit roads, and where you have to be if there is fire alarm. So this is not difficult, but try to remember that. Okay. bullying and harassment on campus, the university must offer safe study environment, and that's why University of Jyväskylä is a community where bullying or harassment is not tolerated. And if you experience bullying, harassment or discrimination, first take study well-being, Hanna Ahola and her group is taking care of that kind of business, and also they will inform us. And we have social affairs and communication specialists. So we have quite many routes where to inform if you realize or see this kind of access. The main point is that you take care of yourself and each other, and you be safety. Be active. Health safety. There are no current COVID-related restrictions in the University of Jyväskylä, but like in common sense, we strongly recommend that follow good hand and coaching hygiene. And if you get sick, stay in your apartment. And viruses spread easily in close contacts and groups, especially in winter time, because the heating is on and we have quite a dry humidity in places. So it just affects our lungs and so on. If necessary, ask your fellow student, your tutors or university staff to help with handling particle matters during your illness. And if I remember right, the university, UTHS, was just taking care of your well-being and your how can we say your safety in their role. They can help you also, so you can meet doctor or nurse and get their information and help. And this is quite a simple but very important thing, especially for you who are not get used to live in this kind of winter situations and time when we have so much dark mostly of the time. So use the reflector. It's very cheap way to keep you alive. 2 euros and you use those so you can be noticed better. Okay, now it's good time because last weekend they just opened. This is Lake Jyväsjärvi in summertime, and this is Lake Jyväsjärvi right now. We're living in wintertime. So don't be first one on the ice, don't be second or even fifth. But now I can tell you, because tomorrow I just cross with bicycle in this road, so you can be quite safe in Lake Jyväsjärvi, so you can be there. And of course, you can experience this one if you like, but make sure that you have some friends or something to help you out there. At summertime, yeah, very nice, and you can swim and go to the beach, and you can row and have different kind of activities there. And right now, you also have different kind of activities in wintertime. So they just opened the track in Lake Jyväsjärvi, so just go there and try it. And also, as you can see, the ice is quite thick in certain time of the year, so they have the horse races also. And because of the ice, how can I take this one out here? Mitäs mä saan nää pois tän? Joo, katsotaas nyt näin. Otetaan kokonaan. Tää ei taa lähteä täältä pois ollenkaan. Okei. Okay. Tuosta noin menee tolleen. No, okei. Okay. But this is the message. The frozen surface of the lake can be fun also. So take one chance and just try ice swimming. It's excellent way to deal stress, because when you are in that frozen water, you doesn't think anything else that only that I'm going to die and I had to concentrate to breathe and can I come out here. So that's the good way to boot your up. Yo. Yep. And remember, when you are on the ice, also take care of yourself and each other. and be safe. Thefts. This is a very safe place, Jyväskylä, but we also have these common problems that we have thieves in almost everywhere, and especially if you have a little bit valuable bicycle or stuff like that, take care that you will lock them properly. And also, our premises are mainly open to everyone, and our regular thieves are well aware of this, so don't let your suitcases, rucksacks, or pieces, or everything like that alone, just keep them all the time with you. So that's the way you can just keep them safe. And we have this CCTV in campus, and what you had to know is CCTV materials are confidential and given only to police. So this is not North Korea. Even we are quite the north. Okay, if you lost something, lost and found office and also police station, you can find in city center, and the railway bus station is mainly better known. So it's on the opposite side of the railway bus station here. And we are right now in here. So we are here in uptown, so in downtown. There is a police and Oikeustalo police center there. And it's open Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Not every day, what is quite a pity, but there you can just ask your if you have lost something. And also, if you want to reporting a crime, you can go there. But much more easier and fastest way is to go in internet and do the report there. And remember, if there's no report, there's no investigation. And also, if you have some insurances for your bicycles or your stuff, you had to do police report that you can get paid from insurance company. So that's also good to know. So it's useful to do it anyway. Our responsibilities, we are in response for the safety and security in main duties, teaching and research, as well as the university premises. But we are not in response to safety and security of students' free time trips or accommodation. So notice this. And here are we. So Teemu and I, we are in security team. And also, if you have some access card or key problems, just go to Kavi's office, the T building, and there's Anssi Herttala, who is dealing with this kind of stuff. So, have a safe stay in Jyväskylä, and remember, take care of yourself and each other, and be safe. Thank you.
If anyone has any questions, we have time. Just raise your hand. Questions. Then we can talk.
Just laitettu teille sitten se niin kuin jako, josta ei tonne.
Sitten on saanut lisättyä ne osivuille.
Yikes. This is... Let's see what my idea was for going on. Luulen, että nyt ei kierrä. Joo.
Tulee kysymyksiä. Sitä on äänestetä muuten sitten pois, niin me voidaan keskustella.
Joo. Okay, I guess you can hear me now without too much disturbances from the other mics. Good morning. Some of you are maybe we didn't meet on Friday. I am Elisa also. Elisa Heimovaara, and I'm the International Coordinator for the Faculty of Education and Psychology. But here today I am to talk about student life, which is our university's well-being initiative for students. And I usually try like to start by defining the concept of well-being according to the standards of World Health Organization. So well-being can be many, many things, but in principle, it means that it is a state in which each and every one of us can cope, can realize our potential, and cope with the normal stresses of life. And this leads into the possibility, ability to work normally, or in your case, to study. And about, I don't know, 15, perhaps closer to 20 years ago now, or 15 years actually, our university realized that the sort of academic counseling, study counseling in our university was more or less okay, but nobody paid any attention to the students' well-being, both psychological well-being and physical well-being, and that's why the Student Life Initiative was founded, established. So, what do we do then as a university? The idea is to enhance the students' well-being, no, and also promote employability and life skills in general, study skills also. And one of the key ideas is to have accessible services for the students. There are certain limitations in place due to many factors, but at least some sort of support and guidance and counseling is available to the students. And what kind of support do we offer them? Well, there are actual courses and different types of teaching sessions about well-being, about study skills. Then there is this guidance and counseling part of the support. We have individual appointments available, as well as group sessions. And then there are online programs, especially the Student Compass. I will talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And all of these services are available for all of the registered students, degree students, and exchange students alike. I have listed here a couple of our most sort of focal features in our student life services. Goodie is perhaps the one that you will mostly utilize during your stay here. More information about that in a minute. Student Compass, I warmly recommend because it's very useful to all of us. It's an online self-help program which has information sessions and also exercises that help you cope with, for example, stress and feelings of loneliness and so on. The support from the Finnish Student Healthcare Services is unfortunately not available to you as exchange students, as you probably already know. But the services provided by our university definitely are. So, what are the most common topics? What are the most common issues that the students search assistance for? Well, quite often it is related to study affairs. Okay. It can be planning of studies. People are totally lost with what they are supposed to do, when they are supposed to do it, how they are supposed to do it. Or then it can be a scheduling problem, overlapping courses, overlapping subjects, study habits. Well, I study habits, yes, but also study skills, because at least here in Finland, university studying usually requires a bit of a different approach than what you are used to in basic education and in upper secondary education. It is just not possible to procrastinate and leave everything until last minute. You have to be really structured in order to meet your deadlines and be able to cope with all of the assignments and examinations. Life skills. Students are usually quite young. Here in Finland, people usually graduate from the general upper secondary school or high school at the age of 19-ish. And if you continue, if you manage to continue, if you manage to get accepted directly to the university, this is typically the first time that you move out of your parental home and you start taking care of your affairs yourself. And sometimes people struggle with that. It's not always easy to, you know, pay your bills on time, take care of the general cleanliness of your flat, do grocery shopping, cook your food, take care of your laundry, these kind of sort of mundane, everyday chores that all of us do. If you're not very used to them, it might become a bit of overwhelming. Personal development, because late teens, early 20s, is a period of personal growth, psychologically speaking. It is also a period of social development, a period of forming new relationships, friendships, partnerships. And all of this might be a little bit causing a bit of a struggle for the students as well. And then related to everyday life, related to study, issues with stress, anxiety, even depression. Okay. So I mentioned goodies earlier. The Finnish speaking or Finnish service is called Hyvis. And people who provide these services are called Hyvikset in Finnish or goodies in English. Goodies are well-being advisors, and we are pretty approachable, relatively easy to get hold of. Everything you say with a goodie is in confidence. The goodies, we never talk about your affairs with anyone else unless the student wishes so. So we can also act as a mediator between the student and lecturers, professors, or some other professionals if need be. We are not psychologists. Well, some of us are, but we are not therapists, okay? So we can't provide counseling, psychological counseling to the students, but we provide students with information. So we have access to information. We can tell the students whom to contact, what are the best possible roads to go forward. And we are just regular university personnel, staff members, but we've gone through quite an extensive might be a bit of an exaggeration, but quite a good training to become Hyvis or Goodie. Here is a bit more information about that. We mostly operate within the regular sort of office hours, so Monday through Friday, from about 9 o'clock until 4 or 5. Appointments are most often made either by email. We have sort of joint mailboxes, and or you can, of course, send a message directly to the goody that you want to contact, but also the shared mailboxes work pretty well. Every faculty has at least one goody, so a person who provides services in English. And a little bit later on, I have a link to the website with the contact information, and you will have access to these slides from the website of the orientation. Well, I already mentioned the most typical issues with which students come to for their well-being services, but I have also included some more detailed information about the reasons for contacting goodies. And once again, study planning, time management, study habits, motivation are, at least in my experience, the most common reasons for contacting goodies. But then mental health issues, stress, depression, anxiety are also pretty common. And I have to say that especially during and immediately after the pandemic, these were pretty, well, too well represented among the issues that students contacted me with. And then burnout, it's a real thing even in student community, especially if I think about our degree students, especially those who continue directly from secondary education to university, they are often quite burnt out from the secondary education already. So here is the link to the web page with the goodies contact information. So you can check for the people who are offering goodie support in your own discipline here or your own faculty, your own department. It is, of course, possible to contact goodies from other departments as well. It's just that they are not necessarily that knowledgeable in the studies, in the program, in the courses that you want to take. So preferably contact your own goodie, but if there is something that you feel that it might be a little bit too personal, or you are hesitant to talk to your own goodie who might know you from, well, like for example, let's use me as an example. I am a goodie for our faculty, but if you think that, okay, because you are students in my faculty and I deal with you, we meet, we talk, we discuss your studies, in my role as an international coordinator, if you want to meet somebody else, that is totally okay. Okay? Nowadays, Student Life has their own premises in the renovated library building. Have you been there? Huh? Okay, great. So on the second floor of the library, room B214, it's a Student Life, well, office or Student Life rooms in which people who are sort of coordinating the program have their offices, but it's also a place in which you can meet goodies. We have had drop-in times in which you can just walk into the office and meet with a goodie without making a separate appointment, but I don't know if and when we are going to have these this semester. I sent a message to the coordinator, but she was on a holiday until today, so didn't receive a message. But if there are, it will be communicated to you by email, for example. Then the student compass. I do recommend checking that out for all of you. It is an online self-help program, as I said. It requires a username and password, but your JYU username and password work for that as well. So just log in and check what is available. And as I said, it has information, it has video clips, it has brief articles, and then it has exercises related to, for example, coping with stress, avoiding stress, coping with mood-related problems, and emotional well-being in general. It has been developed here in our university. It was actually one of our retired professors in clinical psychology who was the primus motor behind this program. And it has quite a sound research basis behind it, and it's being developed constantly. So it's definitely worth checking, and I know that it might not be something that is sort of on the top of your mind at the moment, but perhaps a little bit later on it might be useful. There is also a supported version of this student compass. So it means that in addition to the online self-help program that is available to all of you just by logging in, there are also guided group sessions and individual sessions with our specialists and also with our psychology majors who are about to graduate, always under the supervision of one of our professors, okay? In total, this program takes from 7 to 8 weeks, and there is a separate registration for this. Usually, we send out information about the registration by email. So, if you receive a message like that, and if it is something that you feel is relevant to you, you can sign in. And this web page, this ok.jyu.fi, that's the web page for the student compass. In addition to the sort of direct services, Goodie and student compass and guided student compass, we also have various prevention programs and procedures, including substance abuse prevention plans and also Bullying and Harassment Prevention Act. Something that might be more immediately relevant to you is the accessibility and individual services, which is also nowadays coordinated by the student life personnel. These are more or less the basic support services that existed. We have divided them into three levels. There are the basic services, then the enhanced services, and then the specialized services or individualized services. And this team here, Panayota Räsänen, Hanna Ahola, and Heta Orrain, are the people who are working directly for the student life. Of course, in addition to the three ladies here, there are the goodies throughout the university and other people working partly for student life as well. But if you think that you need this extra help, additional support, you have met with your goodie, but perhaps the goodie doesn't really know how to help you further, then you can ask for a meeting with Panayota, in case you are an English-speaking person, and the goodie will refer you to her. Okay. And here is what is usually included: brief counseling sessions, discussions, practical exercises. Unfortunately, we don't have the possibility to offer any sort of long-term therapy, but at least the sort of immediate help or immediate opportunity to talk about these with a trained professional exists. Okay. And okay, these are more or less similar to the previously mentioned reasons, but perhaps I'd like to mention separately learning difficulties. It is not uncommon, even nowadays, that a student may have passed through basic education and upper secondary education without understanding, without noticing that they have, for example, dyslexia. So if there is something like that, that you are perhaps wondering about, if you might be dyslexic, then it is possible to meet with one of our specialists and even get a diagnostic test to check for that possibility, eventuality. Okay. Right. Okay. Then, Student Life Initiative also brought along know-how. That's part of it. It is the Care and Reading Dogs on campus. So they are part of MOVI. MOVI is our Center for Multilingual Academic Communication, as you probably know. In certain courses, the dogs are part of the courses. And they also have scheduled appointment times during the semesters, a couple of times, well, not a couple of times, a couple of times a month, perhaps, would be a good expression here. I have included the link there, and it's also on my last slide. So they have appointments. You can book a slot for yourself if you feel like that. They are. Both the handlers and the dogs are trained according to the principles of Finnish Kennel Club and their reading and care dogs program. You can just spend time petting the dogs. You know, it's good for your stress level. Or you can talk to the dog. They are pretty good listeners. At least mine know a bit too well certain words, which leads to pretty funny surprises every now and then. Okay. But here is a list of links that I think might be good for you, in the sense that these will lead you directly to the service you are searching for. Because if you go to the general main page, which is, you know, the first link there, well-being support, you have to navigate a bit. So that's why I have included these direct links here. Know how campus dogs, enhanced well-being support, prevention plans, student compass, both supported, and the independent version. My contact information is here in case you want to ask something related to the student life or goodie services. And thanks. Okay. Good. Vivi, you will continue, I guess.
All right, that was all for today's lectures. Thank you for listening. Before you leave, I will show you this once again. You can see this on our orientation program website. You can easily access it just by Googling orientation program JYU. And then about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the last day of the orientation. And please note that tomorrow we will be in a different building. So we will be in the sports building, L building. I will quickly show you the location. Okay, so here you can see we are now here in the C building, which is the main building, and the L building is down here. So, yeah, so we are right here in the C building, and tomorrow we will be in the L building. The first lecture tomorrow starts at 9:30, so please be there by that, just like you did today. Thank you all for being here on time. And yeah, now you have time for lunch. Please note that all the student restaurants here in the campus are now open, so you don't necessarily have to go to the library. You can also try the other student restaurants. And then from 1 onwards, you will be attending the faculty level information sessions. Thank you.